This started to get highlighted really after the pandemic, teacher stress and burnout, and how it's causing a real challenge for us to recruit and retain teachers in our state. Apparently, there's a new survey that was just released by the CEA, Connecticut's Education Association, which is the state's largest teachers union. And it looks at the ongoing crisis for the teaching profession in Connecticut and what continues to be some of the biggest challenges contributing to our teacher shortage. So joining us now to do a deeper dive into the new data released, Kate Diaz is back, who is the CEA president. And thank you so much for coming on the show, Kate. I really appreciate it. First of all, tell us about sort of the logistics around this survey. How many people were talked to? How long was this being conducted? All of that so we can get just a good, you know, starting point as to what we're looking at.
Absolutely. So we surveyed about 5,000 teachers across the state, a representative sample, and we do contract with a third party to ensure the reliability of the survey, because that's really important to us. We want to make sure we get a cross section of all the different counties, all the different grade levels that we teach, and all the different experience levels. And so we feel really good about the quality of the survey itself. It has, I think it's a 1.4 margin of error, which is incredibly low. So we feel really good that what we're getting is a quality picture of what's going on across the state throughout all of the different variables of our population. So that part is, I feel really solid about and confident that the information we're sharing is really reflective of where our teachers are at.
Okay. And Kate, I just want to dive a little bit deeper even. I know the survey, as you mentioned, over 5,000 CEA members statewide and showing nearly 98% of the educators surveyed are concerned about frustration and burnout. Are we talking about, across the board, city schools, urban school? Like, what are we seeing a little bit of everything? Are we just hearing more from, the New Haven, Bridgeport, Hartford, Norwalk, Stamford school districts, or is it a little bit of everything?
Oh, no, this is across the board. That's one of the things that I really am proud of with this survey, is that we do reflect, whether it's a small district out in the kind of more rural sections of Connecticut, or a more urban district like Waterbury or the ones you've mentioned, this represents where everybody is at, which is why it's so particularly concerning that we saw stress and burnout really leapfrog to, I would argue, 100% of our educators, because with a 1.4 margin of error, that 98 could be 100. And so we're really looking at, across the board, everyone saying we've got to address the working conditions and the way that we are talking to and treating and respecting educators.
So, and the reason I was asking about the types of teachers is because sometimes I think that, the average person probably hears about this and they think, well, of course, who's going to want to teach in the city? But, the types of things you're talking about here, Kate, the burnout, the conditions, as you mentioned, and I'll even go to like behavioral issues with students or lack of respect for the profession. I'm hearing about that even in, dare I say, the smaller towns or the Fairfield County towns, where even pay is not really that big of an issue. Like, they don't want to do the job the way that they did even 10 years ago.
I would agree. I think our issues are transcending some of the typical boundaries that we kind of envision, right? Mm-hmm. We often talk about urban and suburban and rural very differently. But the issues in this survey really do transcend all district types. And we are finding that stress and burnout issue, the micromanagement issue, it doesn't matter if you're in, a district that is typically perceived to be, well-paying, like a Greenwich or something like that. Those issues are as present there as they are in Bridgeport, right, or Waterbury. So I think we are seeing this transcend some of the typical boundaries. And the interesting thing about pay is that starting pay is an issue across the board. I think we're in a situation now where Waterbury is as competitive as Darien in terms of starting pay, which is kind of this a shocker notion. But really, our starting salary for educators is really problematic. When we're trying to get people into the field, we're just not competitive. And that's regardless of where you are. Our most competitive salaries are often in places that are looking to really attract. And we're looking at like $54,000. If you're trying to be competitive, which is interesting because other municipal starting salaries are well above that. You know, I know in my hometown, if you're starting with the recreation division, the starting salary is $65,000. If you're starting as a teacher, it's $54,000. And, you know, at some point we have to really kind of come to the moment where we go, are we going to be competitive or not?
So again, we have Kate Diaz here, who is the president of the CEA, and that is Connecticut Education Association, the state's largest teachers union. They just released new results from the latest statewide survey highlighting the ongoing crisis of the teaching profession and why we continue to see a teacher shortage, for example, teacher burnout. They talked to over 5,000 CEA members. So that's across the board in Connecticut. And what's interesting is some of the things you're highlighting right now, Kate, that the biggest reasons, the primary concerns people have, stress and burnout, obviously, low salaries, as you mentioned. But some of these come down to respect, if I could get right to it. I mean, student discipline and behavior issues, lack of respect for the teaching profession. Those were listed as 3 and 4 of the top 5 reasons teachers feel like they've had enough. I mean, and that's really sad to me, because that's something that you could honestly change overnight. I mean, like student behavior, I think that comes down to what's happening in the home, what's happening in their home life. I mean, I hate to be that blunt about it, but I think that teachers are being tasked a lot of the times with kind of raising the kids when that's really not their job. I don't know. Well, I might be talking out of turn.
No, I think there's a component of this where we've asked teachers to do so much in a classroom now. You know, we're asking them to really address some of the other needs, right? Like, are the kids being fed? You know, we're monitoring and addressing mental health issues, things that are often, you know, beyond what our certification is. But we care about children. So if they're struggling, we're trying to figure out how to support and help them. But often that really lands squarely on the classroom teacher, and they don't have the skills and the resources always to address the things that are happening. And so, you know, I think there is a component of this of how are we going to really support and help children, help families. What we're finding is more and more families are in crisis. You know, when we look at the number of students that come to us having experienced significant trauma, having either witnessed or been a part of a violent incident, right? Like, these are things that are really impactful on those kiddos.
No question.
And we don't have the resources as classroom teachers to manage those things all the time. And they do manifest themselves sometimes as behavioral problems. You know, so we need help. We need support.
Right. We have Kate Diaz here, who is the president of the CEA. That's the Connecticut Education Association. And it just released its latest statewide survey looking at why we have such teacher burnout. Why do we have so many teachers who are either taking that early retirement or don't want to stick around? And they're pretty consistent reasons. We were just talking about low salaries. We were talking about student discipline, behavioral issues, just lack of respect in general for teachers. But one thing also stood out to me here, Kate, and in both questions here, the top 5 primary concerns for Connecticut teachers included politicians making decisions that affect education. Teachers also named the top 5 issues contributing to stress and burnout. And it says politicians and non-educators making decisions that affect classroom learning. So I think the obvious, I would think one thing we could change is having more teachers involved in major decisions with money and policies and things like that. What else do you think, Kate, needs to happen to improve this issue of teacher burnout and stress?
Well, I think one of the things that we're talking about is, you know, what are the curriculum choices? What are the actual instructional impactful things? You know, we had a lot of discussion about reading, for example, and literacy, and very few conversations with educators as we had those conversations. And in fact, the legislature and the State Department kind of micromanaged and said, these are the texts, these are the things that we want you doing in classrooms, and didn't really talk to teachers to do that. And as a result, we have programs now being, you know, taught in our classrooms, and the teachers are like, these things are not actually helpful or good for our students. And nobody ever talked to us. And that's a really wildly disrespectful notion to have something going on that is as, you know, critical as what is literacy going to look like in our schools. And we don't talk to the people who are actually teaching this. And so I think that's where you start to see those influential spaces. I also think that ultimately being at the table is what some of this is about. We want to be partners in solving problems. We get that there are things that need to change and evolve in education. but we can't do it recklessly. And oftentimes we just sort of, well, let's try this without actually talking to the people who have to execute the changes.
Why do you think there aren't more teachers brought to the table? And I have to say, this isn't just a teacher thing. We've been hearing about it, especially, I'd say, since the police accountability law was put into place, that there's not enough law enforcement brought to the table when we come out with new legislation, for example, or ways that we're going to craft our laws and how we, you know, handle law enforcement, for example. Why do you think that is, Kate? You know, and again, I know that's kind of a loaded question, but to me, it just seems very logical. You know, you go to the experts. If you like, I'm asking you, right? I'm not going to sit here and tell you why stress or burnout is happening to teachers because I'm not a teacher. I'm not in a classroom. I'm calling you about it, right? Why doesn't that happen, though, at the political level? Why wouldn't more teachers be at the table?
I think sometimes, particularly with services that we interact with all the time, there's sort of a presumption that we know and understand those things. So if you think about this, the average person, the politicians, interact with schools. Their children go, oftentimes, you know, I will hear my child, my grandchild, or I, you know, when we talk about schools in general. So I think if we interact with these services all the time, there's sort of a presumption that we understand and know them. But you don't know them the way that the people who are living and working and breathing these organizations every single day do. And I think the same could be true for law enforcement, right? We interact with these agencies and we think we know, but we don't know how they work. And we don't know what the process and the reasoning behind all the decisions that get made. So it's so important to bring those ground level stakeholders to the table so that we can be a part of making decisions that really do help and influence. Oftentimes, when you don't have those stakeholders at the table, you're going to make decisions that don't actually do the changes that you want. We know how the system works. We understand what our students need. We understand families. We understand the school system. You know, it's one of these things where, you know, the business community was talking about education and they reached out to us and said, hey, can you talk to us about where change could happen that would be helpful to us? And we sat down and we had those conversations because we agree, we want things to evolve, but we can't do this, you know, by fighting our politicians. We want to be at the table working with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And, you know, at the end of this survey, it shows a call to action for lawmakers and education leaders to really address these concerns head on. And we do have a legislative session that is going to start in the beginning of the new year. So I'll be very curious to see, you know, how this gets addressed by state lawmakers. And I know we're going to stay focused on this, as I know you will, Kate Diaz. And I thank you so much for always keeping us in the loop and giving us the time on this platform for Melissa in the Morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Melissa.
You're very welcome. CEA President Kate Diaz here on WICC.